heart disease is one that we have all been guilty of from time to time, and some of us are plagued with. And it is so fitting that I was listening to a recent story and someone describing this heart disease. And the story goes that she's a mom of three little girls, and she had an older son, so she had four. And she's going to her son's soccer game, and she knew that he had been out there a while, and so it's early in the morning, so she said, well, I'll stop and get some biscuit sandwiches and something to drink for him when we get to the field so they can watch the game with him, and they won't be hungry. And so, of course, she drives in quickly to this place, and she's thinking, well, he's been out there playing soccer a long time, so I better get a big drink. And so she says, well, and the girls are going to be there, so they'll share a drink. So she says, let me get two large sweet teas and, you know, a couple of biscuit sandwiches. And she said, what they brought out were two huge buckets of sweet tea with the thinnest, flimsiest tops that she could ever imagine putting on a bucket of sweet tea. And so, of course, she tells her daughter, who's sitting right by her, now, sweetie, you need to hold this with both hands. Whatever you do, right, do not drop this bucket of sweet tea. So she passed her the bucket, and the daughter holds it, and she's holding one. Get all the food in the car, and they're driving off, and invariably, just as they're leaving the parking lot, she hits a speed bump. You know what's coming next. Two big buckets of sweet tea fall all over the seat, all over the daughter, and she's sitting there like, ah, and the daughter says, Mommy, you made me spill these sweet teas. And she said, in that moment, she looked at her and she said, you shut your mouth and sit back. And she said, I said a word in between that shut and your mouth that was not a nice word at all. It's a very ugly word. And she said, as she said it, she could feel the tears welling up, that she'd allowed her anger in the moment of her daughter's response to cause her to say something that really hurt her. And she was sitting there, and she gets to the soccer field, and she told her daughter to, you know, take him the sandwiches and throw them over the fence, and that, you know, she'd be over there after they went and sit down a while. And she called a friend and told her that. And her friend said, you know what? Is that the worst? Was that what you were upset about? And she said, go and apologize and go watch your son play soccer and support them. And she says that she went over to her daughter and she said, I'm so sorry for saying that really ugly word. And her daughter said, yes, we should never say shut your mouth. And so she said, the Lord protected her ears from what I really said. But the disease of anger is like that, right? We get in a moment that is intense emotionally. Maybe we're at we've already had a stressful day, and maybe something has already gone bad at work, and something has gone bad at home, or you're having to face something because someone called you or texted you this thing, and you know a situation is coming, and then you have to get on the tollway. Or you know, then you have to get in the middle of traffic on Preston Road or some other really congested street. And before you know it, you've cut somebody off or someone has cut you off and they've done something ugly and you let your anger boil up and take over. The last Lord's Day, we talked about bitterness. And we talked about bitterness as the next of kin to hatred. Well, anger really is the next of kin to fear because they're so related. Because fear is really related to pain or the avoidance of pain, and anger is so close to that, right? We get angry because we feel hurt, or we get angry because of our worry over something happening or someone being hurt or feeling like it was not my fault and why am I being blamed? And so our tempers especially are like a bomb, right? Time bomb. And it may go off and explode, and that explosion doesn't last very long, maybe less than a minute, but the result of it, the destruction of that bomb, can have lingering effects. And anger can be like that over a lifetime. It can be as powerful as a huge explosion. And Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11 says, the discretion of a man deterreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. One of the first thing I want to talk about tonight is, In order to control our anger, we need to have thoughtfulness. Thoughtfulness. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And all these topics are start with a word with T, so they'll be easy to remember. Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to begin reading at verse 20. What is it about being thoughtful in our approach to handling the problem of anger that helps? Well, you know, one of the ways that we can control anger, and it can be, right? A lot of people say, well, I can't control it, but God has given us the ability to control it. And we can do that by the indwelling of God's love. And so this is connected, right? God indwells us with love through the gospel and through the teachings of the Bible, and he gives us that ability to control by motivating us to have strength and being thoughtful. The word in the Greek here is mindful. Ephesians chapter 4 and, what did I say, verse 20. But you do not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him just as truth, and been taught in him just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speaking truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members one of another, be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. See the contrast that God is pointing to. First, we've been taught in Christ how we are to handle a situation where someone does something that angers you or that causes your temper to rise. And that is, we are responding to that person in like kind. Be mindful. Do not let your anger grow. He says in verse 29, let no unwholesome word proceed of your mouth, but only such as a word that is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, that it may have grace to those who hear. We need to think and act in a way that we are aware. The renewing of your mind comes through the Spirit as a Christian. Now, how do we get that? We get that by faith. We get that through the knowledge of the truth. That's what's happening. We are reading these words in Ephesians 4, and they are being planted in our minds. So the next time I am tempted to get angry, I can remember how I am supposed to respond. Thoughtfulness. I am to think before I respond in a situation. And think about how many times that will save us so much heartache, so many consequences we have to apologize for if we just thought about it before we let it out. But what happens? We allow our emotions. We allow our feelings. We allow our sense of, okay, I've been wrong and I want to respond in kind. And you know what happens, Doc? Once emotions take over, what happens? Well, most scientists have discovered that less blood goes to the brain. And we actually kind of go into this fog of emotion where you are just responding on instinct. And there's two types of responses to stress, right? Fight or flight. Well, I submit to you there's a third response, and that's the response of faith. That's the response of faith. Fight or flight is just a man-made way of coming up with an excuse to act the way you do. Is there some substance to it? Sure. They're talking about a biological, physiological response, right? It's just like I blink my eyes. I don't think about that. It just happens. But here he's saying make it a point to think. You are in control as a Christian, and you cannot just respond at the blink of an eye because you feel like it to someone in anger. You are going to sin because you're not going to control it. And here's how it happens. Someone says something to you. Maybe your best friend, maybe your brother or sister, maybe your wife or your husband, and then you say something in kind, right? And it's kind of like an auctioneer, right? Before you know it, you bid on something, and then it gets going, they say, hey, 50, 100, 150, then you raise your hand, and then before you know it, you get excited in that bid, and you bid for something $500, and you came in with $5. You're in trouble. You have to try to get out of that bed because you got caught up in it. And anger happens away. Well, you said this, and then I said this. Then you get louder, and then you get closer. You get in their face, and they get in your face, and you start pointing your finger. And I'm telling you, every action is making that more and more intense. And all of that blood is leaving the brain the whole time. And it happens that way. Because the closer you get to a person, you intensify whatever you're saying. And so you have to make it a point to be aware of these things. When you feel yourself getting angry, you have to step back. And you have to lower your voice. And you have to take a deep breath. And you have to slow down and think before you respond. All of that is contained in this idea of the renewing of your mind. Why? Because when I'm living as a non-Christian, I'm a person who's not dedicated to following Christ, I am going to respond in anger to anger, right? I'm going to fight fire, not with water. I'm going to fight it with more fire until I just overwhelm you and your little fire with this huge fire that I'm going to bring. Because the world says if you're not stronger, if you don't respond with so much overwhelming response intensity in return, they're just going to do the same thing. But it's just not true. Brethren, that is not true. Most people, 9 times out of 10, they know your triggers, you know their triggers. And when you show kindness, because that's a trigger, you know how to show kindness to a person, you trigger a response. And that's a fact, right? You ever have a waitress that is angry with you or seem like they're having a bad day? Just say this, you know, I have a $100 bill and I just wanted some changes. I plan on giving you a big tip. That'll change. You hit a trigger, didn't you? Right? Because now she's thinking about someone's going to show me appreciation. They're not going to have an attitude. They're not going to take me for granted. They're not going to treat me as their servant. Right? They're going to treat me as someone should be treated with decency and as a human being. That's what the Bible helps us to do. It helps us to have these nuggets of wisdom like we see in Proverbs. Proverbs 12:16, a fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. He covereth shame. Why? Because he's wise. And though he may have some flaws, he is prudent. He knows how to respond in the situation. And not being perfect, but because he's wise and because he knows how to respond, or she knows how to respond as a Christian, most people are going to look at that person and say, no, they don't respond that way. They're kind. They're patient. Proverbs 14:17, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. And that's what we're talking about with the auction, right? You get caught up, and this can happen in any emotion, excitement, fear, pain, hunger, all of those things. When you are at your wit's end, right, the thread is bare, right? You've held out all of your patience and it's all run out. That's when you have to work the hardest at showing this kind of response as a Christian. Proverbs 14:29, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. And you think about that, right? When I'm angry, I want to be around other people that's angry, right? And it happens. I don't care what the situation is. On your team, right? In your play, at work, wherever it is. When you get upset about something, you're going to go to somebody and say, that really made me mad. You say, they're going to say, you know what? That made me mad too. And let me tell you about what happened. And before you know it, more people are caught up. And I can't stand the way that person talks. And it just continues to build and build. And you don't think about empathizing with the other person. And that's the other part of this. So we do need to be mindful. We need to be thoughtful. The second idea is that I want to talk about is we need to be tolerant. And this is a hard one because tolerance has gotten a bad rap. It really has. Tolerance today has such a negative meaning because it means that we accept any and everything. And that's really not what the idea here of tolerance is. Look at the first part of chapter 4 of Ephesians. We'll get to 2 Corinthians 13 and also 1 Corinthians 13. But I want to see a few moments here at Ephesians 4 in verse 1. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you are called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 9 says, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. It rests in the bosom of those that are foolish. In the Old Testament, that word foolish, you remember it meant one who hates God. And he says anger has a home there. But in the wise one, these are the things that have a home in my heart. Humility, gentleness, patience, forbearance. That's just a long word for putting up with one another. But see, the tolerance that we have as Christians is more than just, okay, I'll tolerate you, right? That's not what I'm saying, right? I'll say hi to you, but I don't have no dealings with you. Don't say nothing to me. Don't get in my line of fire, because I'm telling you already, I'm tolerating you. And if you don't, I'm going to let it go. And that is, I'm going to let go and attack. But as a Christian, our tolerance says, I want to be respectful. I want to be kind. I want to show you patience. That's a different approach. And it takes strength. Where do I get that strength to do that from? I get that through prayer and growth as a Christian. Because it's not going to self-produce, right? There are a lot of people you can show a whole lot of patience and kindness to, and they don't respond like not one lick of patience. You know, it just went right over their head, but that has nothing to do with you. Remember that. This has nothing to do with you. It is your response to a situation. Not meaning that you are to accept it. It is not meaning that you are in any way saying what they're doing is okay. This is how I respond. All right? I can remove myself from a situation where there is sin and where there are things going on that I know are not right. And I don't have to go in that situation and attack the person. Because that's not our responsibility as a Christian. To go in and attack someone and make them do what we think they ought to do as a Christian. We know that's not right. So tolerance says, I must learn to have an humble submission. Not just submitting because I have to. Right? Well, he's a boss, and if I tell him something, then he's going to give me back later when it comes to promotion time or raise time or if I need to ask something off. That's submission, but it's submission out of fear. Right? I don't want to do this for fear I'm going to suffer the repercussions of what I do. Humility says is, I'm going to look for what's good in this person. I'm going to focus on that, and I'm going to leave the rest alone. I'm not going to talk ugly about them to my coworkers. I'm not going to talk ugly about them to my friends or at home in the family. I am going to truly be gentle. Right? I'm going to have that soft approach. This is the one that strikes when the iron is cold. I understand what the phrase means, striking when the iron is hot, right? You strike when it's ready. But in this sense, we want to strike when the iron is cold. You don't want to try to calm a person down once they've already flashed over and they're up in flames. You want to approach them in a situation when they have the mindset that you know they'll listen, that you know they'll have time to really absorb what you're thinking. And in the heat of an argument, it's not the time. And this is what happens with anger. A lot of times, someone attacks you, and then you attack back. And what I found is, especially if it's a verbal argument, the more you pull, the more I'm going to pull. And you pull harder, I'm going to pull harder. And it just goes nowhere until somebody lets go. Say this. What you're saying is absolutely correct. If they are wrong and they were rude and they were ugly to you, that's what forbearance is all about. Listen, they slapped, they spit on, they cursed Jesus. He was perfectly innocent. I'm so less a man than even on my best.
so much less than Jesus was. He was humble enough. So that kind of person, I can say, let it go. That's what maturity is. That's true, humble submission. And sometimes that's hard to see.
That's why we need the love of God to help us to grow in that. I understand humility because God has helped me to see humility. It's a personal sacrifice, unselfishness, not always having to have my way. Jonah, he was angry. He did not want to do what God wanted him to do, and it's the same situation as all of us in every situation where someone has done us wrong. And we have the opportunity. You don't always have the opportunity, but a lot of times you have the opportunity to make amends and to be that olive branch, to be that bridge so that you can at least have some civil connection. You can try to do that. But a lot of times that takes us being unselfish, because that selfish part of it says he doesn't deserve another chance. She doesn't deserve another chance, right? And that's anger. It's anger that builds up because we don't want to let it go. It feels good. Why? Because I protect myself. Because as long as I'm angry and I stay at a distance, they're not going to hurt me again. And in my own twisted thinking, I think I'm hurting them. Right? I want them to feel the same way I feel. And I promise you, it never works. That person has gone on doing whatever they want to do. They're not even thinking about you. And you're sitting there angry, trying to hold on to it. And spiritual stability. Spiritual. It's a forbearance must be built on this foundation. The forbearance to one another in love. That's got to be the foundation. Now let's go to the scripture for a second. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. And I want you to see how this relates to 1 Corinthians 13, the chapter on love and its characteristics. All right, so we're laying a foundation. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves, and do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you unless indeed you fail the test? Here's my foundation. I want to make sure it's firm and steady and sure. Just like this pulpit, it's not going to move. It's solid. You can test it, right? Our foundation of love has to be the same way. And spiritual stability can only stand when it passes the test. So if I lose, if I give in to temptation and I get angry, then I know. No, my foundation is not very strong. I'm examining myself. And in that moment, I'm not responding in the spirit. I'm responding in the world, that worldly part of me, right? Because the spiritual part of me has already been told how it's supposed to respond: with patience, with gentleness, with humility. Now, which one is God going to accept? Which one is God going to reject? You may not want to say it, but you know what it is, right? You know God wants the gentleness. You know God wants patience. He wants humility. You know he's going to reject arrogance. He's going to reject a haughty, prideful attitude. He's going to reject when we're selfish. Tolerance helps us to understand. It encapsulates this idea that wisdom is born out of love. I must treat everyone, Christian, non-Christian, friend or foe, alike. And I can do that better if I come from a place of love. Now, I'm not talking about a person being a doormat. There's nowhere in the scripture, even though Jesus said, turn the other cheek before him and slap you on the left, turn the other one also. There's nowhere in scripture that it is taught that there's anything that is righteous about being humiliated. That's not righteousness. Because I let someone beat me and beat me and beat me. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about how you respond. Wisdom says, I'm not going to stay in a situation where I'm being humiliated. I'm going to steer clear of that. I'm going to remove myself from that. That's not a glory to God. It is a glory to God when I treat those who despitefully use me with kindness, with long-sufferingness, with affection. Because that is the exact opposite of what the world will respond to. So we need thoughtfulness and we need tolerance. The last one we need is tactfulness. Tactfulness. It's not what you say. You know what's coming next, don't you? It's how you say it. I love you. Yeah, I like you. Yeah. I said a lot of nice things. It's how you say it. It makes a big difference. One is tactful. And we're not talking about being hypocritical, right? It's not just putting on a happy face to appear this way. This is something that's born from the inside out. We develop these skills primarily by listening, right? Be slow to listen. No, that's not what James said. He said be slow to speak, right? Quick to listen. Slow to hot anger. Not just anger, wrath is a hot anger. And that's a formula, right? If I listen twice as much as I talk, I'm going to avoid this entirely. I'm going to avoid getting angry. I'm going to avoid being wrathful. The wrath of man worketh not. That's a big not. That's a big not, right? Just like thou shalt not eat of that tree. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. James chapter 1, verse 20. I want to be righteous in God's sight. I'm going to have to learn these skills. Be tactful. Speak with consideration. Don't just talk to somebody with a sense of disquietness. That's the strongest word I can say. Because I think sometimes people just really, they're in such a dark place that they don't even think about how they speak to someone else that's a human being. I'm not talking about being nice. I'm just talking about treating someone with decency. And it tells me that person has not either learned it or they just choose not to. They're just that selfish. They just really don't care. But as a Christian, we have. We've learned something differently from our master. We are yoked to him. We are his students. We are his disciples. We are his followers. And he wants us to act that way. How will the world know him? By the way we love one another. That's a tall order. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. I'm going to just follow some other passages. Thoughtful, tolerant, tactful. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Do not act unbecomingly. Love does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. Is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. That's probably the most difficult thing, is accepting when we've been hurt at no fault of our own. Right? You had to suffer for something. You had no part in it. You didn't have the wrong attitude. You didn't say the wrong thing. You're just in the wrong place at the wrong time. And someone chose you to take out their anger on. And you have a choice in that situation. You can act the same way they do, or you can show the character of Christ. You can be tactful. Proverbs 30 and verse 33. Surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter, and wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood. So forcing of the wrath bringeth forth strife. These two things go hand in hand, right? When you're hot angry, you're going to bring some fighting. They just go together. I don't know any people growing up who loved to fight that they weren't angry all the time. They just go hand in hand. And in some ways, that helps, right? You like when I was learning to box, all the angry people, they were pretty good boxers. Right? They fought a lot. But that's not going to help you outside the ring. It's not going to help you in life. Because it's the angry people that suffer the most. That's the saddest part. The very thing that you're trying to bend off by being angry and fighting and attacking, you're hurting yourself the most. Because you keep at bay the very people who really care. And fundamentally, you keep away from you a savior that cares. Because this person doesn't know how to be humble. He doesn't know how to be humble with other people. He certainly does not know how to be humble with God. Because that takes the ultimate unselfishness. That takes the ultimate patience and humility to say, I need the Savior. I need the Master to help me change my life. Proverbs 17:14, the beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water, therefore leave off contention before it be meddled with. Verse 22, an angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. It's not a self-fulfilling prophecy, but it is a downward spiral, right? Strife, pain, anger, wrath, transgression, death. That's how it works. Angrier I am, the more sinful things I'm going to do, the more sins I do. We know where sin leads, right? The wages of it is death. And I've lost the very thing I've tried to protect. Anger truly is a disease of the heart. And we can attack it because God's given us a skill and the power to overcome it if we'll focus on it. And if we'll truly work at having the right attitude. To be thoughtful, be tolerant, and be tactful are some good ideas to start. But maybe there's some pain that you just need to give to the Lord. It's hard to do those things when you know you're at odds with yourself. And that's what sin is, right? It's be like being a two-sided person. You've got that sinful part of you, and you've got the part of you that's good. But the sad part is, the sinful part is attacking both, right? It's destroying you from the inside out. And no person that's being torn in two directions can be at peace. And God understands that about us. That's why he provided a way through repentance that we can be right with him. Through obeying the gospel, we can put those sins behind us. And we can move forward and become more like Christ. As we stand, as we sing.